Velkommen til Hesteveterinærene, podcasten for deg som veterinær eller dyrepleier og som jobber med hest. I Hesteveterinærene prater vi om tilstander og sykdommer som kan ramme hester. I tillegg tar vi også opp emner som relevante for deg som jobber med hestens helse. Podden lages av Børing Ringleim, og med denne podden ønsker vi å gi noe tilbake igjen til deg som jobber med hestens helse på klinikk, i felt, dag og natt. Vi ønsker å snakke om emner som interessante og relevante for deg. Så ta gjerne kontakt hvis du har forslag til emner eller har tips til en gjest du gjerne vil høre på. Kontaktinformasjon finner du i beskrivelsen av podden.
Welcome back to the final episode about gastric ulcer syndrome, equine gastric ulcer syndrome, that we are providing to you from our podcast, Hestveterinärerna or Hestedyrlägarna. My name is Maria Willemsson, and I am here again with my colleague, Louise Husted Larsen. And for this final episode, we wanted to talk, or I wanted to ask you, Louise, because this is truly your area, about what else I can find in a gastroscopy when I perform a gastroscopy, because I mean gastric ulcers is what most of us would connect to a gastroscopy or issues with the stomach, but there are other things that they can suffer from, and there are other things that you can actually also find when you do a gastroscopy. So if we look at the other sort of common or uncommon finds that you could have, what is the most important ones, you think?
Yeah, so as we say, usually the indication of doing a gastroscopy is because the owner suspects gastric ulceration. There's a behavior change with the horse appears different somehow. And in collaboration with your veterinarian, you decide to do a gastroscopy. And I want to say that the most common disease of the stomach is gastric ulcers in one shape or the other. Mm. And that goes, again, both in the squamous part, but also in the glandular part. And those two does not need to be seen at the same time. They could be either or in conjunction. So, but there are other indications of doing a gastroscopy that does not have anything to do with ulcers, and you can get quite surprised. So a gastroscopy can tell you a lot about disease processes that originates from there. One of the things that we typically see in the stomach are BOTS. So that's a parasite. It's actually fly larvae that develops in the stomach. They are usually not pathogenic in the stomach. They look like little red worms, little red fat worms that usually will sit around the squamous part of the stomach in the white part, and they can be very lively and wiggle around and be quite disgusting to look at. But they essentially do not do any harm when they're in the stomach. The problem is that they come from the little yellow eggs that's on the horse's coat down the legs that we know during the summertime. And when the horses lick themselves and get these eggs into the mouth, they hatch and then they can develop as larvae in the oral cavity near the teeth. And that can cause some issues for the horse, and that's typically where you will see symptoms. And your veterinarian, when they do your horse's teeth, they can discover pockets with some larvae, and that can cause the horse some discomfort from the oral cavity. So that's usually where you find them. But if they don't cause any trouble in the mouth, they travel down along the esophagus and into the actual stomach, where they attach to the mucosa, and they sit there until they are mature. Then they release and get passed through the manure. And then they hatch into new flies. When they detach, that's an important part for us that looks for ulcers. When they detach, they make little round craters in the mucosa. And if you see that, make sure you ask the owner if they recently dewormed, because some dewormers will get rid of these spots. And once they detach all of them at once, the mucosa might look ulcerated. Mm. But one of the hallmarks for that is that it's little round circles, and they are located usually dorsal to the or proximal to the Marco plicatus, and that's an indication of if you have the history at the same time as deworming, that's probably because of BOTS releasing, and that does not cause any clinical signs. So that should not be misinterpreted as gastric ulcers. Usually you have a little elevated crater around that circular thing, but it's very classical for that. So that's the BOTS or the larvae, Gastrophilus larvae.
So how long time does this red round marks stay typically? Like for how long after they dewormed?
Yeah, so the mucosa will heal pretty fast. So I don't have an actually day for that. But I have seen them up to a week to 10 days. I would still have some irregular surface area. Mm. So I would ask the owner if they had dewormed within the past 7 to 10 days. And if they have, I would be pretty sure that that's marks left from the release of the BOTS. Mm. So other things that that has something to do with parasitology as well is that we can have some of these summer larvae flies that we can sometimes see in the skin in like summer wounds. It's called hyperonema, and that can occur in the stomach as well. And in the stomach, they develop in the mucosa as nodules. So we have hyperonema, we have something called drasha as well, which is also a parasite that can live in the mucosa. They're not as pathogenic when they're in the stomach. But again, when we see them as veterinarians, we would like to treat them. And it's again with some of the dewormers that can take care of those. So if I have a very nodular appearance of especially in the glandular part of the stomach at this point, I would think deworming is the right thing to do. You cannot diagnose them unless you see them and they have these nodular appearance. Then that's an indication of deworming should be appropriate for that particular horse. If you did a fecal sample or any other parasitology sample, you would not detect them at that point. So it is looking for them that will reveal it. Again, they will not necessarily, they need to be a lot of them before they do make the horse sick or display any clinical signs. But if I see them, I do want to deworm them. So then in the other category, I have various tumors. Tumors in the equine stomach are quite rare, but the one that we see the most will be what we call a squamous cell carcinoma, and that originates from the white part of the stomach, from the squamous epithelium, of course. And they can be hard to evaluate in the initial stages because they can look like ulcers. But ulcers that will become more and more thickened and will not be cured with just normal ulcer medication. So an indication of that you need to do biopsies would be non-healing ulcers that keeps getting thickened and look more and more obscure would be an indication of doing a biopsy. Now, that sounds easy, but the problem with biopsies of the stomach is that you would only be able to take a very, very small piece of your mucosa, and sometimes that will be non-diagnostic. So, unfortunately, these horses will often waste away. They will become more and more skinny, and initially that could very easily be ulcers, but they will eat a lot. So they won't necessarily have any problems with the going off feed. They will eat a lot and still lose weight. And that's one of the indications that you should start thinking of this as being something else than just a simple gastric ulcer. They can, when they become very, very severe, they can spread through the stomach so they can cover the entire squamous mucosa. And they also have the potential, unfortunately, to grow through the stomach wall and spread through the peritoneum. And in some cases, that can go so extremely fast that you can have horses that look okay 3 weeks prior to this, and they can waste away quite quick and have their entire abdomen seeded with these squamous carcinoma cells through the abdomen, and there will be nothing you can do about it, unfortunately. There's no cure for this particular disease. Then we have in the pylorus area, you can have a lot of nodular disease as well. That could be anything from granulomas to tumors, etc. And that can again cause some problems with emptying of the stomach. So it would be tumors that's located near the pyloric entrance that goes into the duodenum. And that will again cause the stomach to have a delayed gastric emptying, and that will be a severe problem, because again, that's nothing that you can do too much about, because it's an area where you can't do any surgeries specifically, neither from the inside or the outside at this point. So there's a lot of indication that has nothing to do with gastric ulcers, where a gastroscopy will still provide you very, very valuable information about the disease.
If you do find these tumors in sort of an early stage, I mean, you said there is unfortunately nothing that we can really do about them. You can't perform surgery in this area. But how would you treat such a horse, like, symptomatically during the course of the rest of their life? You said it could also be really a quick process, but I assume that that's not always the case, or?
No, it's not always the case. But I think if you do have the diagnosis, and if you do send in biopsies and you get your diagnosis confirmed, this is the time to take a serious conversation with the owner. Because again, it is a disease that will develop quite quick. And usually when you see the horse, it's because the horse have displayed some kind of problem.
Yeah.
Like it's starting to lose weight. And at that point, there is nothing that we can do about these tumor diseases. If you talk to foreign veterinarians around the globe, some in the United States, chemotherapy has been attempted. But the results are not something that we can say go for it, and it's nothing that we use in this part of the world. So, a very serious conversation about quality of life with the owner is the best thing you can do if you do diagnose the tumors. Again, doing the biopsy will give you the results most of the times. Some other times you can just see that the horse will waste away and you won't be able to get that biopsy confirming your actual diagnosis, and then it's a clinical progression that will tell you that that's the process that's going on. But please attempt to do the biopsies, because if you do get a diagnosis, then that's the nicest thing for owners and everyone involved, so you can be sure of what you're talking about. So, yeah.
Are there any horses that are more at risk for this and others? I imagine maybe age has something to do with it, or?
Age has something to do with it, but unfortunately, some of the tumors in the stomach can be found in all age groups. The squamous cell carcinoma of the stomach can also be seen on the outside of the horse, specifically on pink skin. So some horses will have indication of having that wherever they have pink skin on their body. Some have it in their eyes. Some breeds are predisposed for that, so you can see it from the outside. Haflingers have, unfortunately, one of these genetically, that they're at a higher risk. And getting that on the prepuce or the penis or the ear tips or the eyes, in the third eyelids of the eyes. So there are breeds that are predisposed for that, and that will go for the inside squamous cell carcinomas as well. So so it's a scary disease, and it's usually not ending well.
So there are other things that can happen as well to the stomach, and I think one of the more maybe acute or ones would be the impactions.
Yeah.
Of the stomach, and also dilatation, either due to an impaction or due to something else. And of course, if it ruptures, then it's over.
Yes.
Unfortunately. Yeah. But maybe there's something we can do about it before. So what can you tell us about the impactions of the stomach?
Impactions of the stomach. So we talked about the feed ball that usually resides in the stomach at all times, that that the horse, when it eats around 1.5% of its roughage or the forage, then it fills up the stomach, and there should be like a balance of intake versus outflow to the duodenum, and then everything's good. There's a balance in the environment in the stomach. But if you have a delayed gastric emptying for some reason, that could be secondary disease or primary disease in this case, where the emptying rate is too slow because of a disease, like a tumor or something that's happening down there, or a foreign body could cause the same thing. Then if the horse keeps eating, and they unfortunately do, then you get an overfill of the stomach, and that can lead to an impaction, because all that roughage, if they don't drink enough and it dries up, will become one compact hard feed ball that's too large for the stomach, and that will all of a sudden cause pain, but not until it's pretty critical. So the way that we diagnose that is by gastroscopy as well, but it's a gastroscopy that's not able to be performed. So we would fast the horse to go and see what's going on with the stomach. We'll fast the horse, and we will usually fast them for about 16 to 18 hours. And with the horses that have a stomach impaction, when we look there, we will have a big feed ball still laying there, and we won't be able to get into the stomach. So in that case, we'll start flushing the stomach with water and sometimes Diet Coke for some funny reason. But that kind of breaks down the surface tension, and you can get lucky that you get it hydrated down there. Then you wait for maybe 5-6 hours again and see how far you come. And a stomach impaction will need a lot of flushing until you can go down and evaluate whether there is a foreign body or something that obstructs the outflow tract. Now, most of the cases, there will be no physical problem with delaying. It will just be either by coincidence, because the horse just keeps eating. Maybe it got a big round bale in the field that it just put its head into and never stopped eating, and overate its requirement and forgot to drink enough. And then you'll get everything impacted with very dry matter in there. Fortunately, that's quite rare. Usually they will stop and it'll sort itself out. But that's one of the causes for gastric impactions. The other can be a chronic problem as well, where this waxes and wanes, and that will make the stomach wall dilate. So it gradually becomes bigger and bigger and loses its ability to contract and push that content out into the duodenum. And the more you stretch a stomach wall, the less ability it'll have to get to normal contractions again. And that can exacerbate the whole problem, that you will get recurrent gastric impactions, and that's a serious problem for the horse. So in those cases, you need to readdress the whole feeding situation, and that horse should be decreased in its roughage allowance, because it will impact again and again and again. Again, certain breeds can be predisposed for this. Frisians specifically have been looked at, and they can have this condition frequently, so you have to be careful about that. So it is something that we fear quite a lot to come across for horses, because it's a problem that if you start having dilation, it's a chronic problem that needs to be readdressed for the rest of the horse's life.
Is this something that can occur repeatedly? Like you treat it and then it comes back? It sounds like it's a problem that it sort of has.
Yeah, it definitely can. It definitely can. And if you have it twice, then you do know that there's something that horse needs to be assessed for, you know, or your alarm needs to be on at all times, because otherwise the worst thing that can happen all of a sudden is a stomach rupture.
Yeah.
And that has happened secondary to gastric impaction, and that's something that we are very, very aware of when it comes to stomach impactions, and that happens out of the blue one day. And some horses never show any signs until they rupture.
Yeah.
And then you do your autopsy, and you can see that the stomach is huge. I also do believe that sometimes the stomach impactions can be caused by trauma to the horse, that it does something crazy in the field. And when you open and see all that material that's normal for the stomach, if you're not quite knowledgeable about how the content is supposed to look, then you can misinterpret that as a stomach impaction, because it is a fairly dry matter in there, but it's not supposed to be oversized.
Mm.
So, but pure unluck can cause gastric ruptures as well. And in some cases, we don't know why they rupture. If they have a weak gastric wall, for some reason, it could be ulcers that has been going on and weakened the mucosa of the gastric wall. Or it could be, as we've seen sometimes in the intestine as well, blood clots. Remember that we have a little bit of bacteria in our bloodstream at all times. And sometimes if they get seeded here and there, then they can cause these weakening of like little micro abscesses. The liver takes care of most of our circulating bacteria and endotoxin and all that stuff. But sometimes things get into our circulation and that can cause that.
Mm.
So and that's hard to pick up before things happen.
Yeah.
You know, so then you see the horse when the rupture's already been happening, and then you there's nothing you can do, unfortunately.
Mm. What is your in your experience, what would you say is the long-term prognosis if a horse has a stomach impaction once or maybe twice or repeatedly? Like what is your advice to the owners about management and so on?
It's a very cumbersome project, because the horse needs to be taken care of feeding wise down to the little detail at all times, and you have to be able to provide enough nutrition for a big horse that cannot eat the amount of forage that the horse is supposed to. So it demands a lot of energy and commitment from the owners in order to give that horse a good quality of life. Because it will be a chronic problem, and they have to deal with that every single day for the rest of the horse's life. Otherwise, they do risk that the horse will impact once again and maybe even rupture and die in a bad way. So, yeah.
So you just briefly touched on foreign bodies and that this can cause a blockage. But I'm guessing that foreign bodies can also do other bad things to the stomach. And I mean, when I think of foreign bodies in the gastrointestinal tracts, I think of dogs.
Yes.
Because dogs eat everything. And horses are generally very picky with what they put in the mouth, but not always.
No.
And I imagine you can find one or another thing that shouldn't be in there.
Yes. As well. And it has not been rare that we've been called on emergency about this horse had snatched the plastic bag out of the owner's hand because she had snacks in them and ate it, like just like ate it completely. I've heard of horses eating lead ropes with metal buckets on or buckles on and a variety of other things. So sometimes owners see it and they know that happens. Sometimes they find the foreign bodies in the manure that they pass, and it comes out as a surprise that the horse had a metal foreign body in transit for maybe who knows how many years, months or years. So that's some of the stories that you hear. So even if they are supposed to be quite picky eaters, they can also be the exact opposite and eat just about anything. So so that's it. One of the things that we are usually asked to do is to go and retrieve the foreign body. But what we have to remember is that there is about 2.5 meters from the nose of the horse and into the stomach with a scope. Our instruments that can go through the scope and grab whatever is down there are microscopic. So there will be no way that we could go in there and retrieve a foreign body and pull it all the way out of the esophagus. If it's lodged in the esophagus, sometimes we can cut it into pieces by by various techniques, or we can try and flush it through the esophagus and into the stomach and then let it pass normally. But usually it is not possible to go down and retrieve a foreign body once the horse have swallowed it and it ended up in the stomach. So veterinarians will usually tube the horses with a lot of mineral oil or something to cover it and speed up the transit process. But that's essentially all you can do. Now, we have another type of foreign body, or we have two other types that we could call foreign bodies. And one are what we call phytobezoars. And that is when the horses lick the coat or the foals eat the mare's tails or something like that. It long hair from a tail, for instance, can curl it up into a little ball inside the stomach. And some of them don't pass easy, and then it kind of gets bigger and bigger and bigger with feed material and the hair in like a little ball of content. And if you're very unlucky, that mass can eventually lock the or block the outflow tract and into the duodenum, and then you have a serious problem. So that's, if you have a stomach impaction of some sorts, you will always want to see if you can go in and see if there is a foreign body in there, so you at least know what you're dealing with. Now, going in and retrieving that foreign body is a different story. So depending on what it is that you're looking for or looking at, then the treatment options will be very different. So that's one type of foreign body, and that could be hair, you know. But the other foreign body that we have is probably not what we call a foreign body, but it's sand. Sand and gravel and little rocks can be down there as well. And that's a different treatment option where we would use psyllium in combination with lots of oil and tube the horses on several occasions every day to see if we can get that sand to kind of pass out of the stomach and move on. And then usually once they're in the small and then further to the large intestine, we can get lucky that everything will pass. So, but foreign bodies, once they go into the intestine, luckily it's rare that they cause any problems. They slowly get embedded into the manure and then get passed, because horses are usually such big animals. And they're usually big animals, but you also have the little ponies and the miniature ponies. And of course, that's a different story. That depends on how the foreign body lodges and everything. And that then we treat them a bit more like a dog. We're a little bit more scared when it's small horses compared to the larger, just because of the sheer diameter of the intestinal tract through the horse. So bigger horses can eat a lot of things without us getting too worried. But the little ones, we have to be a bit more careful with.
I think it's interesting with the sand, because most of the time when horses have a problem with sand, it's because it's accumulated in the large intestine, mm-hmm. and caused problems there. Yeah. But can it actually accumulate then in the stomach as well and become like cement or almost like...
It can, but it's rare. I would say the sand problems in the stomach would probably be more of a rock issue, that they have ingested little rocks and it kind of gravitates into the bottom of the stomach. So if you do an x-ray, you can see nice rocks there. Mm. Some horses are what we call geophagic, meaning that they like to eat dirt. And some even get a specific likings for small rocks and eat that, and that's, of course, that's a foreign body fetish. They want to eat that particular foreign bodies, and that's a behavior thing that you have to. Usually, the horse comes with an owner that already recognizes that that's a problem, and you will get told that this horse specifically likes to eat weird things. Yeah. So yeah.
Thank you so much for that, Louise. I think it's really interesting also to hear a little bit about the sort of rare issues or the not so common issues. I mean, as we talked about, ulcers are what you're most likely to find when you gastroscope a horse, but there are indeed other things as well, yeah. And other indications for why you might want to do a gastroscopy. So this was, as we said, the final episode of this special EGUS series that we have recorded for you. And if you like it, please don't hesitate to share a comment or give us a rating in your podcast app. And also, please do stay in touch. Talk to your local key account manager or a rep if you have any suggestions for topics that you want us to talk about in the future, and listen to us soon again. Thank you.
Takk for at du lytter til Hesteveterinærene. Hvis du liker det du hører, setter vi stor pris på om du legger inn en tilbakemelding i podcast-appen din, og tips gjerne kolleger og venner. Vi snart tilbake med en spennende ny episode av Hesteveterinærene.